I kind of have a blend of halakha and hashkafa with a piece from the Rav, which I guess is not that odd. We're looking at a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. We're up to Rosh Hashanah over here. And this is the Mishnah talks about the shofar that we use on Rosh Hashanah. There's a series of Mishnayos that talk about the shofar that we use on Rosh Hashanah. This is kind of in the middle over there. It seems to be a dispute amongst the Rishonim whether this Mishnah is describing to us something that is required biblically, or whether it's only required midrabbanan, or whether it's only a value midrabbanan, meaning if it's only preferred only midrabbanan, or if even, it's even preferred midareisa, as we're going to see. So the Mishnah says as follows: Masnisin shofar shel Rosh Hashanah shel Ya'el pashut upiv mitzupe zahav v'shtei chatzotzot min hatzdadin. Shofar ma'arich v'chatzotzot mekatzrot shemitzadayom b'shofar. Okay, so the first part of the Mishnah, the Reisha, is talking about Rosh Hashanah itself, and it says that the shofar of Rosh Hashanah is from a Ya'el. What's a Ya'el?
Antelope.
Not clear. No, it's not an ant.
Not antelope.
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 So it's either a U, E-W-E, or a goat, or a kind of goat. It's a machlokes Rishonim. So it's a Ya'el Pashut. What's Ya'el? What's Pashut over
straight.
Here? Straight, exactly. It's a straight shofar. Upiv mitupe zahav. And the mouthpiece is golden. Has anybody ever seen a shofar with a golden mouthpiece?
No.
In the Rava, you have a stuck on the U.
What? That would raise the price of views. That's a weird name for an animal. Rashi gives it away. He says, "Upiv mitzupe zahav b'shal mikdash kamar." It's not the normal shofar that we use.
That reminds me of the old
yeshiva joke. You guys can all use this at your seder table, but not in front of each other. 10 years ago, archaeologists found on the bank of the Nile River, they found a set of bones, actually 7 sets of bones, of cow bones.
Fat ones?
And the question is, were those the 7 fat cows, or were those the 7 skinny cows?
Skinny. What's the answer? Sorry, should I move it?
Yeah. People are supposed to say fat, people are supposed to say skinny,
you went to Kenya.
And then I'm supposed to say it was a dream. So it's neither.
It was in the quiz.
Yeah. It's a good one to pull on. It's a good one to pull on, kids.
You didn't get it.
That's right.
That's why you now have it.
Right.
So Rashi tells us, "Upiv mitzupe zahav." This is not your standard shofar. This is the shofar that used in the Beis Hamikdash. The shofar that used in the Beis Hamikdash, that one had a golden mouthpiece. V'shtei chatzotzot min hatzdadin. They had trumpets on the side, on each side. Basically, the shofar was in the middle, and the chatzotzot were on the sides because the shofar was the more important thing. Shofar ma'arich v'chatzotzot mekatzrot. Shofar would go for long, and the chatzotzot would go for short. Shemitzot hayom b'shofar, because that's the main thing. However, ubetanios b'shal zcharim kefufin upien mitzupe kesef v'shtei chatzotzot be'emtza shofar mekatzer v'chatzotzot ma'arichot shemitzot hayom b'chatzotzot. However, on a tanis, on a fast day, the fast day that we're talking about is a fast day where they needed rain or they were suffering in some way, and so they would institute a fast day. And on a fast day, the mitzvah is you blow the trumpets. That's what you do on a fast day. Whether you blow the trumpets because of gzeiras hakasev, or whether it's because it's a good way of just wailing and inciting emotions in people. But either way, that's what you do. So in that case, the shofar was made of different stuff. It was from zecharim. It's from male instead of female animal. And it's actually a ram, a male sheep, and it would be kfufin. It would be
bent
instead of straight. Upien mitzupe kesef, instead of having a golden mouthpiece, it would have a silver mouthpiece. And the two chatzotzot actually would be in the middle this time, and the shofros would be on the side. Okay. Then the Mishnah continues, and it says Shave hayovel le Rosh Hashanah. Litkia ulabrachos. that the Yovel, when do we blow the shofar and Yovel? On Yom Kippur. The Gemara is going to use Yom Kippur and Yovel kind of, or at least the Rishonim use them interchangeably. Whenever it says Yom Kippur, it means Yovel of Yom Kippur. So Yovel over here, it says, is the same as Rosh Hashanah, Letkio Lebrachos, the way that you blow it, and the brachos that you say along with it. The bracha that you say along with it.
It says Rosh Hashanah, not Yom Kippur.
No, later on it's going to say Yom Kippur. Here is Shavah HaYovel Rosh Hashanah. It's saying that the shofar that you use on Yovel, Yom Kippur Yovel, that is the same as the one that you use for Rosh Hashanah. And all the halachas are the same. That's what the Mishnah, that's the Tanakhama of the Mishnah is saying.
Shiloh Abadim was on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur.
Yom Kippur. The Yovel, the shofar of Yovel was blown on Yom Kippur of the Yovel year. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with the Tanakhama on one point. Rabbi Yehuda, remember, Rosh Hashanah token b'shal scharim, Rabbi Yovelos b'shal ya'elim. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with Tanakhama and says, actually, the animal that, it's, at least this is what the Mishnah says, the animal that you used was different. So it's not the case that Yovel and Rosh Hashanah are exactly the same. Now, after you read this Mishnah, you have to wonder, what is Rabbi Yehuda disagreeing? Is he only disagreeing about this one point? Or is it something even more fundamental? In other words, if he disagrees about this one thing, does that mean he agrees with the Tanakhama about everything else? So if I were reading the Mishnah, and we would stop here, and we would just be learning the Mishnah, what would you say? What is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion about Yovel and Rosh Hashanah? I would say, yeah, I would say, well, so not the skia,
the shofar.
The animal, yeah, the shofar, the physical shofar, I would say, right? But the Gemara is not going to say that. And if you look at Rashi, Rashi gives you the sneak peek. Says Rashi, you know, goes a little overboard almost. He says, Gzera shofar lo gamir. In other words, the Gzera shofar that teaches you that, which we're not going to see actually, Gzera shofar that teaches you that Rosh Hashanah and Yovel are the same, that whole thing Rabbi Yehuda doesn't buy. Rabbi Yehuda completely disconnects Yovel from Rosh Hashanah. Which is, you know, beyond what our Mishnah says, but Rashi is motivated by the Gemara, which is basically going to say this almost immediately. But I think it's important to notice that, you know, you might read the Mishnah one way, but that's not how the Gemara is going to read it. Okay? Take that as a yes. The Gemara continues. The Gemara says, Am Rabbi Levi, mitzvah shal Rosh Hashanah v'shal Yom Kippur v'kfufin. V'shal kol Hashanah v'pshutin. Rabbi Levi, in Amora, comes out and says, the mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah, the shofar of Rosh Hashanah, and of Yom Kippur, is with bent, kfufin. V'shal kol Hashanah, what's kol Hashanah? The taniyot, exactly. Shal kol Hashanah is be pshutin. What's wrong? It's exactly opposite of the Mishnah, right? Is Rabbi Levi allowed to do that? He's not allowed to do that. That's none. But our Mishnah says, Shofar Shofar Shoshana Shoyal Pashatu. What happened? Huda Amar, so the answer is Pashat. Huda Amar, the answer is, Huda Amar ki haitana de tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Barash Hashanah Hayutokim Bishal Zacharim Kfufin, or Biyovlos Bishal Ya'elim. So apparently, Rabbi Levi was not agreeing with our Mishnah. Why wasn't he agreeing with our Mishnah? Because he had a Braisa that said another opinion, namely the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. We'll backtrack in a second. But Rabbi Yehuda's opinion in the Braisa is that on Rosh Hashanah, you were tokeya, v'shal zcharim kfufin, o biyovlos, v'shal ya'elim. Can anybody spot the problem yet?
Another word. They added another word.
Right. Well, yeah. So what David is pointing out is, why didn't they just quote our Mishnah? Why didn't he just say, oh, he's like Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah? So the main reason is because Rabbi Yehuda on our Mishnah doesn't really say anything about kufin, exactly. Apparently, the Gemara is assuming that though that the Braisa it does jive with the Mishnah. And when he said Zecharim and Ya'elim, he also meant that it's bent versus straight.
That's not rare.
So, but can anybody still spot the problem before the Gemara points it out?
Yeah. Differentiating between Rosh Hashanah and the Yovel.
Perfect.
As
good.
As opposed to Rosh Hashanah and Yovel against the Taniyot.
Meaning, Rabbi Levi, what did Rabbi Levi say? Rabbi Levi said,
Rosh Yom Kippur are the same.
Exactly. Yom Kippur, again, by the way, Yom Kippur is Yovel. So he's, Rabbi Levi said that Rosh Hashanah is the same as Yom Kippur, or Yovel. And it's Tanios who's the odd man out. He's going to be Pashut. Meanwhile, the Rabbi Yehuda that they're quoting says not that way. It says the same thing for Rosh Hashanah, that it's Kafuf. But it says otherwise for the Yovel. And that's exactly what the Gemara is going to point out. It says, why didn't he just say the halachas like Rabbi Yehuda? Basically, why didn't he just say like Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah? Apparently, it would have been good enough to just say he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, and it would have been clear to everybody that Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion not only that it's Ya'elim versus Charim, but also Kafuf versus Pasha. That Rabbi Yehuda completely disagrees with the Tanakhama. Is that clear? In other words, the Gemara takes it for granted that that Rabbi Levi could have just said Hachasa ka Rabbi Yehuda, and we would have understood that Rabbi Levi completely disagrees with the Tanakhama of the Mishnah and says that on Rosh Hashanah we use use Zcharim and we use Kafuf. That was clear to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, you can't do that. E amris halchasik Rabbi Yehuda hava amina afilu shel yovel nami ki Rabbi Yehuda svirle. Kamash malan, not. What is the Gemara's answer? Havamina, if he would have said Lema Hachasa Kirabi Yehuda, then yes, I would have gotten the point that Rosh Hashanah is not like the Tanakhama. That Rosh Hashanah, you use Kafuf and a Zecharim instead of the Ya'el and Pashut. But what else would I have said?
The other half.
I would have also said that on Yovel, I do the same thing, that on Yovel, I use Zecharim and Kafuf instead of Ya'el and Pashut. But Rabbi Levi doesn't think so. Rabbi Levi thinks that, backtrack for a second. Havamina that we would distinguish between Yovel and Rosh Hashanah, like Rabbi Yehuda does, but Rabbi Levi doesn't. Okay, so just to recap. The Mishnah says that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are the same. Rabbi Yehuda and the Mishnah just seems to disagree about something very small. We'll see it's much bigger. Rabbi Levi comes along and says that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are the same, but it's the opposite of the Mishnah. Okay? Then, in support, Rabbi Levi quotes Rabbi Yehuda. The problem is, the quote that he brings from Rabbi Yehuda distinguishes between Rosh Hashanah and Yovel. So it's good for Rosh Hashanah, but Yovel, nobody distinguishes like that. And that's exactly why Rabbi Levi said it on his own. He set his own rule because he agrees with Rabbi Yehuda that Rosh Hashanah is Bekafuf, but he disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda that Yovel is with Pashat. Is that clear? I know it can be a little bit confusing. Say it again if you want, but I think it's...
So that means Rabbi Levi is holding by the Tanakhama in one case and Rabbi Yehuda in another case.
Right. Yeah. Because why? What might you say? Based on what Rashi said before about Rabbi Yehuda. In the Mishnah. Remember what Rashi said about Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah?
Right.
That was Rabbi Yehuda. So what's the case for Rabbi Levi? No, he doesn't need to. He basically combines Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakhama. What does he say? He says, Rabbi Yehuda is right, and we'll see why in a minute. This is the only thing that's unclear right now. We'll see why. Rabbi Yehuda is right that you use the kafuf on Rosh Hashanah. But Rabbi Yehuda took another step and said that there's no gzeirah shavah connecting Yovel and Rosh Hashanah. And that, Rabbi Levi says, is wrong. There is a gzeirah shavah that connects Rosh Hashanah and Yovel. So if something is the case for Rosh Hashanah, then it's going to be the same thing for Yovel. That's where Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Levi diverge. So you have basically two different issues here. You have one, the question of what shofar to use on Rosh Hashanah. And two, is Rosh Hashanah and Yovel the same?
We've got three
possibilities based on that.
But you've got one as a whole each.
Yeah. So now the Gemara is going to explain what the argument is about Rosh Hashanah. But Mike and Mifugi, what are they arguing about in terms of Rosh Hashanah? Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Rabbi Yehuda disagree with the Tanakhama about Rosh Hashanah? One of the opinions says that the more kafuf, the more bent your mind or your spirit is on Rosh Hashanah, the better. That's better. It's better to be bent on Rosh Hashanah. Whereas on Yom Kippur, it's better to be straight. Okay. Umayr Savar the other way. Umayr Savar, the other one says, Barosh Hashanah kamet apashit inishdate tvei mali, ubetanios kamet akayif inishdate tvei mali. Not distinguish between Rosh Hashanah and Yovel, but rather between Rosh Hashanah and Tanis. The other one says that on Rosh Hashanah, the more straight you are, the better. And on Tanis, the more bent you are, the better. Now, the last part is probably the clearest part out of everything. Obviously, on Tanis, you can't be Pashut. That seems obvious, right? If Pashut means something about your mind and your demeanor and your attitude and your pose, right? Then it's obvious to everybody that on Tanis, of course, that's not, when you're fasting, when you're praying, when you're crying unto God, that's not a time to be straight, right? To be dignified and noble and, you know, and straight-backed, so to speak. On Tanis? Because it's the time when you bent over, like, or sack, like Mordechai. And, no, so hold on, I'm just saying about Tanis. No, Tanis like a fast. Like a fast, like you're praying for rain. You're praying for rain. You're in trouble. So, of course, you're going to be bent over. I think, however you apply the metaphor, there's no way that we're going to say that you're going to be, you know, straight-backed.
Why not? You need to be honest and straight.
Which comes first? I mean, are you that way because the shofar is that way, or is it the shofar is that way?
Well, we're going to right. Good. So what we're going to what do you think? What does it sound like?
Yes, it is.
Which way does it go? The shofar is teaching us, or we're teaching it, or
we're choosing the shofar.
Not that we're choosing the shofar because
our demeanor.
All right, the shofar is being chosen based on what our demeanor should be. It should match our demeanor, right? Mm-hmm. So now the question is: on Rosh Hashanah, should you be straight or should you be bent? So let's look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Kama dekayif inishi, inish rather." Betfilaso panav kavushin laaretz tvei adif mishum vahayu eini velibi sham eini velibi sham hilkach b'rosh Hashanah de la tefila v'lahaskir akedas Yitzchak ba beinan kfufin. Says on Rosh Hashanah, where the purpose, and we're going to really drill down into this, the purpose of the shofar is for tefillah, and to remind us of Akedas Yitzchak, that's a time to be kafuf. Akedas Yitzchak is literally, you know, you're bound. He's bound in a prone horizontal position, right?
Just posture.
Balanced.
The yovlos, shehen likro dror, b'inan pshutin, u'gzer shav aleisle. But on Yovel, you're dignified. You're going free. You're going free. It's a time to be noble. Stand up straight. Chin up. Head up. But it's Yovel, though. I mean, it's, you know, it's not a Stam Yom Kippur.
What's a Yom Kippur?
At the end of Yom Kippur, yeah. So that would be that opinion. Which opinion is this, by the way? Just to keep our brains in the Gemara.
I'm late.
It distinguishes Rabbi Levi. It's Rabbi Levi in particular. I'm sorry, you're right. It's Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Huda, because he distinguishes between Rosh Hashanah and Yovel. Rosh Hashanah and Yovel. Mm-hmm. And he says that Rosh Hashanah is kafuf, and Yom Kippur of Yovel is straight. You're right. It's Rabbi Huda. Meanwhile, Rabbi Levi is not going to factor into this, by the way. Meanwhile, the Tanakama of the Mishnah holds the other way. Look at Rashi. Kama de pashit tvei adif. Mishum nasal vavenu el kapayim. Hilkach barosh Hashanah bepshutin de letfilahu. Okay. There's a different approach towards tefillah. It says that you're supposed to stand straight with your hands like this. That's how you're supposed to daven. Not according to this. Mishum nasal vavenu el kapayim. Right. Hilkach barosh Hashanah bepshutin de letfilahu. And according to the Tanakama, Yom Kippur of Yovel is the same as Rosh Hashanah. Actually, Rashi doesn't seem to think that it's that we do dafka kafuf on Tanis because we're supposed to be bent over. He says it's done just because we want to make a heker, that it's not like Rosh Hashanah. That on Rosh Hashanah, we dafka straight back, and Tanis, we don't care so much. Rabbi Levi agrees with Rabbi Yehuda about the principle of tefillah. Right? In other words, according to this, Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda are disagreeing about the pose that a person should take when they daven. Right? So Rabbi Levi agrees with Rabbi Yehuda that he should be bent over, but he disagrees about Yovel. Rabbi Levi only disagrees with Yehuda, not because he disagrees about tefillah in principle, but because he holds with the Gzeir Shava, so Rosh Hashanah is going to be the same as Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is going to be the same as Rosh Hashanah. Probably. Okay? So that's the Gemara. That's the Gemara. All right, we saw different approaches towards the shofar, and then different approaches towards whether it should be bent or straight, which seems to be based on what? What's it based on? What's the whole thing based on, whether it's straight or whether it's bent?
Tefillah.
Very clearly based on tefillah. You look at Rashi, all the way back at the beginning of the Mishnah, the first Rashi on the Mishnah, at the top, Matnit in Shofar Shal Rosh Hashanah Yael Pashut, Mefarish Taim B'Gemara Demidi Tefillah Ba'i Pshitas. He's quoting here the Tanakama. But he's saying, the whole point, and he told this right at the beginning of the Mishnah, the whole point is that the shofar is supposed to mimic the proper approach towards tefillah. That's the idea. If you go to the sheets, you see that Rashi's not alone in this. The Rambam says, in the first halacha about shofar.
Referring in any way to the sound made by the shofar? Are you referring at the moment to the shape of the shofar?
Right. Mitzvahs asay shel Torah, lishmoa truas ha-shofar b'Rosh Hashanah. Shnemar yom tru'a yelachem. V'shofar shetokin bo bein b'Rosh Hashanah bein b'yovel. Who's he like? Oh, we don't know yet. Hu keren ha-kvasim ha-kafu. So who is he paskin like? Who do we paskin like?
Yehuda.
No.
Rabbi Levi.
And you would have known this if you would have followed the hyperlink, right? If you go back to the Gemara, Am Rabbi Levi Mitzvah, there's a Dalet over there. That's a Rambam Dalet. You go to the Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah, you follow the hyperlink over there, he tells you to look up this halacha. What? The Dalet is right after the Mishnah.
We've got a 404 on the Ein Mishpah.
Is in the Gemara. You can't see it? It's too small? Oh, I'm sorry.
A hyperlink was removed.
I apologize. Yeah, so it's there. Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah takes you exactly to this halacha. V'kala shofaros psulin chutz mikeren akeves, and he claims that the rest of the shofaros are pasul, which means that he sees this as daraisa and required. Okay, that's not completely accepted by everybody. V'afa bishulim diparish b'torah trua b'shofar b'Rosh Hashanah. We're going to get back to this later. It never really tells you. Where does the Torah tell you that you're supposed to blow a shofar on Rosh Hashanah? Never does. Yom trua. What kind of trua? The Gemara itself doesn't know. The Gemara says, it's not true. Is it a trua of kol or a trua of shofar? Where is that? Yeah, but when is that? Where is that pasuk?
No.
We know that's what trua means, but we know it mipi hashmua. We know it midah raisa, so we know it, but the Torah never explicitly says
this
it.
This was mum. Did she go? Oh,
right.
That's how you learn what
type of sound.
Right? We get so enthralled by it.
Yeah, also Sarah as well. Yeah, same thing. V'avah b'shulim t'parish b'torah t'ruah b'shofar b'Rosh Hashanah. Even though it never actually says that you're supposed to use a shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Harayu Omer, where does it say it? Where does it say that you bring a shofar? Where does it say? V'havarta shofar. No. The Havarta is called Shofar. Machane? No. Yeah, it's the next word. Hariyover Yovel. The Havarta Shofar Chua. That's where it says it. Now you know where he gets the Gzer Shavarim, obviously. Havarta Shofar Chua. Tavir Shofar. Umipi Ashmua. Mipi Ashmua means, you know what it means? It means Alachon Moshem Yisina. It means Tarsha Baal Peh. Tarsha Baal Peh is Daraisa. Tarsha Baal Peh is...
Sounds much better than
biblical. Mipi Hashmua means it's like Kabbalah. He could have said Mipi Kabbalah, which it also meant. It just means tradition. And we know from tradition, from Sinai, that when it says Yom Tru'ah, it means that it's a shofar. Lam Duma Tru'as Yovel B'Shofar. Av Tru'as Rosh Hashanah B'Shofar. They're just like the shofar. It's the shofar on Yovel. It's also the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Okay? But so the Rambam says kafuf, as though kafuf is an important. He's just highlighting the fact that kafuf here apparently is an integral part of the shofar. It's important that the shofar be kafuf and not pashut. It's actually ma'akef according to the Rambam. It actually, if you don't have it be kafuf, then that's not the right shofar. That's how important it is that it's kafuf, right? Where do we get this whole idea from, by the way? Where was Rashi quoting from when he told us about how we know that tefillah is looking down? The Gemara in Yevamos says, "The Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Havu Yatve." What's Yatve? Sitting. They were sitting. Pata chad minayu. One of them opened his mouth and said, "Ve'amar mitpalal tzarech sheiten einav lamata." When you dive in, you're supposed to look with your eyes down. Shneamar. Vayu einai velibi sham kol hayamin. Who's saying that, by the way? Who's Vahiyu Einai V'Libi Sham Kol Hayamim? Yeah. V'chad Amar Einav L'mala. Shne Amar Nasal V'Aveinu El Habayim. The other one said, no, we look up. Where do you recognize this from? That was the other Rashi. This is the Machlokas that Rashi is quoting. This is the Machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. It might as well be the machlokes between Rabbi Chia and Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi.
Kodesh, Kodesh, Kodesh says the same thing there. Mishnah Berurah says Kodesh, Kodesh, Kodesh.
You're supposed to look up. Yeah, yeah. I think we're trying to be like Malachim there, that's why. Adahachi ata Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yosi l'gabayu amelu b'mayaskita. What are you guys talking about? He's like, you know, third wheel. He breaks into the conversation circle. Well, it wasn't a circle, it was two people. Amulei b'tfila. We're talking about tfila. Amulkach amar Abba. I'm not sure if Abba here is his father or if it's who was called Abba.
Abba? Father of Rabbi.
I can't remember. And one of them is a nickname Abba. I can't remember. Okay. Hamid palot tzarech sheitin einav lamata v'libo lamala k'dei sheitkayim b'shnei mikros halalu. Yotei both deos. But Lamaisa is saying your eyes should be looking down. In other words, your posture, your physical posture should be looking down, right? Your eyes should be looking down. So that's like kafuf. That's probably where you get the conclusion from. Okay? Right, but what he means is libo probably means his intention. In other words, you're thinking about it. We're going to actually get back to libo lamala. You know what? We're going to get back to libo lamala all the way at the end. All the way at the end of this year, we'll get back to libo lamala. But for now, Ein of Lamata is the approach that says that it's kafuf. You're supposed to be looking down, physically looking down.
But that's for any tefillah, not just Rosh Hashanah.
Correct. So apparently, what do you have to say? Apparently, on Rosh Hashanah, the shofar is what? The shofar is deeply, deeply connected to tefillah. On Tanis, not so much. And that is not so much.
When would they blow the shofar?
And according to Rabbi Yehuda on Yovel, also not so much.
When would they blow the shofar on that Tanis?
In the middle of the day, during that. They blow the chatzotzos. Really, they blow the chatzotzos. The shofar. That's probably what Rashi meant when he says they didn't. It didn't matter because the shofar wasn't so important on Tanis anyways. They didn't have a halacha about. I don't know if the Rambam even has a halacha about what shape the shofar has to be. Because as we saw, the shofar is not the mitzvah of Tanis. The chatzotzos are the mitzvah of Tanis, right? Remember that was in the Mishnah. It's the trumpets that are important on Tanis. So the shofar, Rashi was saying before, the shofar, we don't really care, so we make it straight so as to distinguish between Tanis and Rosh Hashanah. But what it tells you is that what Rashi and the Rambam are both telling us is that there is a very, very deep an important and even halachic connection between the shofar and tefillah. And we're going to see that. We're going to see that for the rest of the night in a few different places. Number one, Bli Kavana. Another Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Daf Kaf Ches Amud Aleph. Gemara says, Shachu Leila Avua Deshmuel Kfa'o V'achal Matzah Yatzah. On Yoni Dioma. What happens if somebody forcibly feeds you matzah and you have no intention to be Yotzeh the mitzvah? So what happens? So the Gemara says, Yatza, you're Yotze, even though you didn't even have Kavana, right? This is what we were discussing last night, about Mitzvah's Trichas Kavana. Mm-hmm. So Matzah seems to be, I'm blowing it for you, but it's an exception. Matzah, Apparently, you don't need kafan. Kafau man, who's forcing you? What's going on here? Ilema kafau shade, a demon came and forced you. Vatanya, itim chalim, itim shotek, shu chalim hareu kipikech chodvar, shu shota hareu kishotel chodvar. Let's get past that. Amravashi, kshikvau parsiim. Non Jews who don't like you so much, they're the ones that forced you to eat it. Yeah. And you obviously didn't have kavana, and yet, nevertheless, you're yotze.
Why would non Jews force you to eat matzah?
It's a joke.
You mean at precisely the time of Lent, say that?
Yeah.
They do it all year round. Just
yeah. No, hey, the Jews, they have that holiday tonight. Oh, they like to eat matzah. Let's feed them some matzah. Yeah, you can imagine that happening.
Yeah.
You can imagine, they break down the door.
It was going cheap. It was last year.
They break down the door. They're in the middle. I'm just being graphic here. They break down the door in the middle of the Seder, in the middle of Magid. They think it's funny. They jump in, they grab the shmur matzah from your table, and they start, feeding it into the face of the first guy that they look at, because they think it's funny.
What's amazing is no one's questioning that the goyim do it, but the demon everyone said was okay.
Why would goyim do that? Very good. Amarava, zota merit, hatokea lashir, yata. So Rava jumps up and says, that would seem to mean that if you blow the shofar, lashir, just as a musical thing, just you blow it for a nice accompaniment for whatever, that you're yotze. Why? Because it's another case of tokea, of doing a mitzvah without any kavanah. Pshita, einahach. Of course, they're the same thing. Why not? Ma'u detema, what would I say? No. Hatam achol matzah amarachmana ha'achal. Aval hacha zichron truaksiv. There's this background to the shofar. It's supposed to be zichron chua. There's supposed to be some kind of theme to it. But you're not really doing anything. So kamash malan, then nevertheless, it still works. Alma kasava rava mitzvah ein tzrichas kavana. This is supposed to prove, according to Rava, that mitzvah ein tzrichas kavana, if this works. Okay? This works. So what does this tell us, though? What does this tell us? What would you be able to glean from this in terms of what we're talking about now? What do you mean?
What shofar are you using?
No, go beyond that. Let's say if this has this in really, really deep connection to tefillah, then in what direction would this Gemara take us? No, beyond the kafuf issue. Let me put it this way. If you were to daven lishir, right? If you were just, you like to say the words, so you just start singing it. Would that be a kiyum of mitzvah tefillah?
Maybe.
Generally not. I mean, famous. Let me make that clearer. If a person were to pick up a sitter, even during the time of shacharis, he has no idea what the sitter is. And he just starts reading the words. Just reading them. Not really paying attention. He's just reading them. Maybe he's even paying attention, but he has no idea it's a sitter. He didn't know what the words were before he started reading them, but now he's reading them. Is that a kiyum of mitzvah tefillah? In this case, does it really depend if mitzvah tefillah kavanah? Rav Chaim of Brisk, we've learned this before. Rav Chaim of Brisk is first piece. Second piece in the Sefer on the Rambam, probably the most famous piece in the whole book, talks about the mitzvah of tefillah. And he talks about tefillah itself, Shmon Esrei, which is the tefillah, right? Whenever the Gemara says tefillah, that's what it's talking about. And whether or not you need kavana. And he establishes the principle that there are two types of kavana when it comes to tefillah. One type of kavana is kavana for pirush hamilim, to understand what you're saying. The other type of kavana is the knowledge and awareness that you are standing before God and talking. And he says, with regards to tefillah, halachically, you need even the higher level, the Pirush HaMilim version of Kavanah, for the first paragraph of tefillah. Mm-hmm. And for the rest of it, you don't need that. You only need the second level of awareness that you're standing in front of God.
Chazanish argues with him, and in general, you wouldn't go back. If you didn't have kavanah for Perish Hamilim, you didn't go back. It's one of those things, you don't go back for it, because even if you go back for it, you won't have kavanah the second time, whatever. But what's his point about the second form of kavanah? His point is, if you don't have kavanah, you don't have a knowledge, awareness, that you're at least standing in front of God, what are you doing when you're reading from the Siddur? You're just talking to yourself.
Dreaming about something.
You're just talking to it. You're just saying words. That's not a Maisa Mitzvah. In other words, in order to actually have a... That's like... We'll see it more literally in a second. It's like taking... it's like playing the Er Lulav, right? On Sukkot, you get up, you go into your sukkah, you pick up an asterisk, you hold nothing in your other hand, and you just start going like this, right? You're lacking something. You're not doing anything.
You just walked into your sukkah, you've been Makam and Mitzvah, and you're not doing anything.
Talking about the Lulav.
I know, I realize that, but the demon that fed the Matzah, you wasn't doing.
So Matzah is different. Because Matzah is different because there is a Maisa Mitzvah there. You're eating. That's all you had to do. All you had to do was eat. So you did the Mitzvah.
No.
Talking from a Siddur, reading from a Siddur, unfortunately, is not a Mitzvah. It's not a Mitzvah to read from the Siddur. It's a Mitzvah to daven. Now, a person could be reading, I don't want to be misunderstood. I wouldn't go as far to say that there's no kiyum of tefillah if a person doesn't, you know, have the highest kavanos. But if a person is standing in shul and he doesn't even realize that he's davening, then of course there's no davening. If he realizes he's davening, but he's not paying attention. Yeah. Just let's be, you know, very conservative here. If he knows he's in shul davening and he's reading from the Siddur, but his mind is wandering and he doesn't understand what the words he's saying, I think that's still tefillah. It's not the highest kind of tefillah, but it's still tefillah. He knows what he's doing there. But if a person is just sitting on the street reading a book that happens to be a Siddur, it's patently obvious that that's not tefillah, right?
But so if you are standing in shul, not paying attention and just reading miles away, you sit and what are you doing?
Right.
What would you say?
I think he would say, I'm davening.
Yeah,
then that's tefillah.
That's what I'm saying. It's
I think that is tefillah.
No, he's waiting for the Rav Shir to finish. While he's doing it, he's picked up for him and taking it.
I'm assuming that whenever people daven, they have some level of awareness of the idea in some way that they're standing before God. Even if they learned it a long time ago and it's just ingrained in them that that's what they're doing and they're not actually thinking of it right now, they know that. Yeah, they'd say, I'm davening. Yeah, that's what they would say. What else would they be doing? So I just wanted to point out, though, and the Rav points this out. So what's the problem over here? The problem over here is tokei l'shir yatza. I thought that the shofar was like tefillah. So how could it be that you could be yotze shofar without any kavanah at all? So the Rav says, actually, look at the Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara in Sukkah says lulav sheyesh bo shlosha tefachim k'dei la'na'anea bo kasher, and he's medayek and. I mean, this is a valid deal in halacha, that the lulav needs to be three tefachim. Why?
In order to be able to shake it.
Right. Do you have to shake it in order to be mekayim the mitzvah?
No.
It
has to be shakeable.
At the moment you pick up a lulav, you're mekayim the mitzvah.
Yeah.
But it needs to be the shear so that you can shake it. So Rabbi Salvechik says it's the same thing for the shofar. The idea that the shofar should be kafuf is there so that it's still a chafza of tefillah. But even if you don't actually do whatever is similar to tefillah with it, you're still mekayim it, just like picking up a lulav. All that has to be is valid, it has to be available for shaking, even if you don't shake it. Oh, like an object. It has to have the parameters, it has to have the qualities of tefillah. Here, the quality of tefillah is that it's kafuf, right? Even if when you blow it, you're not actually doing anything that's comparable to tefillah. But the object of the mitzvah needs to still be available to that. That's one point. Here's another very interesting thing. Sukkim d'oraisa d'rabbanan. Okay, take a look at this. The Torah says, Daber al bnei Yisrael l'mor b'chodesh ha-shvi'i b'chad ha-chodesh yihiyah lechem shabbaton zichron shura mikra kodesh. Okay, chad ha-chodesh, this is Rosh Hashanah. The Ramban takes Rashi to task for two things in this pasuk. Not one, but two. Both are the same genre. We're only going to look at one of them. Pasuk the Zichron Trua. Rashi says, this is inside the Ramban, Psuke Zichronos Upsuke Shofros Liskar Lachem Akedas Yitzchak Shekarev Tachtav Ayel. You're supposed to say along with the shofar, the psukim of Zichronos and the psukim of Shofros, which we all recognize from the, you know, from the Siddur, from the Machzor, so that we can remember Akedas Yitzchak. What's the problem? What? Okay. Another problem. Okay, but Dave, bigger problem. What's the bigger problem? He's missing one. So the Ramban says, what's going on? He's quoting a Medrash. The Medrash actually says Malchios. Why doesn't the Rashi say it? Why would he mention two and not three? Okay. He says, he assumes that what Rashi really meant to. Rashi meant to say, Malchios, don't make any big deal about this. And we're not going to make a big deal about that. We're actually going to make a big deal about the next thing that Ramban says. He says, the whole idea that you're supposed to say Psuki, Zichronos, Shofros, and Malchios, where does that come from? If Zichron Trua doesn't even necessarily obviously mean Shofros, where does the Torah ever say that you're supposed to say Psuki, Zichronos, Shofros, and Malchios? Never. It doesn't say it anywhere. The Torah doesn't say it anywhere. But Rashi is quoting it as a perish of this pasuk of Zichron Trua. It says that's what Zichronos. That's where Zichronos come from. Zichron Trua.
So
Ramban, Rashi clearly is saying it's Daraisa. The Ramban says, but it's an Asmachta. How do I know? So take a look at the next Gemara. Skip the rest of the Ramban for a second. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Daled Amud Beis, all the way at the end of the Gemara. It's at the end of the Masechta. It says, "Umitzvah batokin yoter min hamivarchin." It's a bigger mitzvah to blow the shofar than to say the brachos and the psukim. Ketzad, what's the context? What is the nafkamina between them? Shtei ayaros, let's say you were at a fork in the road and you had to decide between two cities for Rosh Hashanah. You had to go to one of two cities. Be'achas tokinu be'achas mevarchin. One of them has a shofar and the other one has a machzor. And the first doesn't have a machzor and the second doesn't have a shofar. Hoch in the makom shetokin. Vein hoch in the makom shemevarchin. You go to the one that has a shofar, and you don't go to the one that has a machzor. Pshita, of course. Hadaraisa, hadarabanan. One of them's daraisa, one of them's darabanan. Which one is which? Shofar and shofar is the daraisa, and the brachos, the machzor, is only the darabanan. So the Gemara says, "Lo tzricha dafagav da havadei v'hasafik." No, it's trying to tell you that even if the daraisa was only a safek, meaning you're not sure if they have a shofar, you just heard that they did, and the brachos are a vada, you know. Nevertheless, even in that case, the daraisa trumps the darabah.
Where have we got the right to be? Where have we got shofar being the daraisa? We said it was Yom Tura. We didn't know what it meant.
No. The Rambam says, Mipya Shmu Alamdu, that just like the trua of Yovel is a shofar. That's daraisa. That's mamish. Nobody argues. Nobody thinks that shofar is not daraisa. Just the fact that it doesn't say it in the Torah, so it's Torah Shabbat Peh. It's fine. Torah Shabbat Peh is also daraisa.
Right.
But according to everybody, shofar on Rosh Hashanah, it's Torah Shabbat Peh. So then, what's according to the Ramban, what does Zichron Trua mean? Aval Zichron Trua, back in the Ramban, I'm still on the first page. It's a remembrance of us before Hashem. Okay, fine, whatever. It means something more thematic. According to Rashi, it means mamish technical halacha that you're supposed to say in the bracha. What's going on with Rashi? How can Rashi say this? How can Rashi say that the psukim of Zichronos and Shofros and probably Malchios or daraisa, when the Gemara explicitly says that's darabana? How can he say this? So the truth is, we have to take a step back and point out that Rashi is a, and I think I said this before, is a repeat offender of this. all throughout his Perush, he mentions things as he gives explanations of Psukim with things that are only Midrabanan. You can find, I think there are at least five that I probably could rattle off. There are two in this Pasuk. Because in this Pasuk, he says, oh, this is talking about, he gives two Perush on Zichron Shua. First of all, he says it's talking about the Psukim. But you know what else he says about Zichron Shua? The Torah describes Rosh Hashanah in two different ways that are very similar. One of them is Yom Shua. And the other one is Zichron Shua. What's the difference? Rashi says, it's Yom Shua when it's on Chol because you blow the shofar. But when it's called Zichron Shua, it's because it's only a Zecher, the shofar. Why? Because it's Shabbos and you don't blow the shofar on Shabbos. But that's Dirabanan! And that's exactly what the Ramban argues with the Rashi about on the same pasuk. Same thing that Rashi does in both places. So the truth is that you could probably leave it alone and just say, Rashi is teaching you Torah. You could say that. Rashi, I'm telling you, there are many other places where Rashi does the same thing, where he, aside from giving you Dirabanans, he'll give you the wrong halacha. He'll quote Beis Shammai on a pasuk as a parish. You know, he does that by Kiddush of Shabbos. You know, the whole machlokas in Beis Hillel and Shammai, they both approach Shabbos in different ways. One of them, Shammai, you know, if he found something on Sunday, so he would hold on to it until Shabbos, and Hillel would just pick a new thing every single day. So Rashi actually quotes Shammai. He mentions Shammai. Why? And the Ramban argues with him. Rashi does it all over the place. So we can stop there. We can just say that's how he explained it. Rabbi Soloveitchik, and the truth is the Risk of Rav before him and many others, they wanted to deal with this Rashi. They wanted to explain, how could Rashi go against the Gemara? Is there a way that we can actually say that the brachos of Zichronos and Zerofros and Malchios could actually be the Raisa?
Is that what Rashi actually says?
Well, on the Pasuk, he mentions that, oh, this is talking about Zichronos and Zerofros. That's what he said. And there are other, I think there's another place where he also said this.
If you said it's part of the mitzvah of Shofar.
But then why does the Gemara describe it as Dirabanan?
If you do it on its own.
Oh! So take a look at the next side of the page. Harei Kedem. Harei Kedem is the Sefer of the Rav of Rabbi Soloveitchik on the Moadim. Ha-Pashut Bedas Rashi, Debrachos Hem Daraisa, Rak, like Meher said, Keshem Bayim B'Tzeref HaTkios. The Brachos are Daraisa, but only when you also are blowing the shofar. Aval brachos levad b'malkam she'en tkios einam ala midrabanan. And what was that city? That was a city with only a machzor, no shofar. V'lachein b'ayid esof Rosh Hashanah d'mayir b'shnei ayarot sheba'achas tkios b'lvad b'shnei brachos levad below shofar im ken ein sham ala brachos below tkios b'kai gavna. In that case, when there's no tkios, she'ita deins ala midrabanan. V'hochem b'malkam she'tokim below b'malkam she'mevarchem. Because over there it's derais and over there it's only midrabanan because they don't have a shofar. Ella, he says, wait. That means that what would you say about a shofar without brachos? It's still daraisa. Rashi elsewhere says that the seder of the tkios is shalosh shalosh shalosh. Right? You do three and three and three. Tkia trua tkia tkia trua tkia tkia trua tkia. We do. Compound that, but that's what you do. And he says, because each one is keneged, Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros, right? Ha chovas tkios hu chiyov b'fnei atzmo, she'enu tali b'amiros Malchus. So this is hard to understand, though, because you need three sets of Shofros even without the brachos. The whole point of the three sets is that it's being said with the brachos, but if it's not being said with the brachos, then why do you need three sets? V'anira deyu in the halon, sham b'mishnah, if you blow the shofar and you go into the second set, it only counts as one. Uberashi sham, Rashi says over there, umashach bishniya tkiya shal achar hachua, mashach kishtaim, let's say by deshtaim, shaya tzarech lasa zu achar zu, pshutu lachar, okay, hold on 1 second. We'll just read his explanation of Rashi. You elongated the tkia, the second tkia. The second tkia. Tkia trua tkia. Of Malchios, right? Ad la'achar amiras zichronos.
It's a very long tkia.
V'zeu davar tamu amod, echi tachen sheyimshach betkil kol kach. How can it be that long? How can you go for so long? Mimalchios ad sof zichronos. How can you go all the way from Kios until the end of Malchios, until the end of zichronos? I don't think he's even talking about, like, in the context of, like, you know, when they, in some shuls where they do it in the middle of the silent monastery, right? Or even not in the silent monastery.
Yeah, even.
Even not, even in the Chazar HaShas. How can you go all the way from, how can it be? Fine. But even the way, even there. Yeah. Even there, it's 10 psukim. This is even without the psukim. In other words, you blew the shofar of Malchios, the second tkia of Malchios, and it went all the way until the end of the Zichronos.
How many people
were blowing? Right, that's what I was just wondering now.
That would really annoy me, then. Yeah, that would really annoy me, then. Lewandowski wouldn't like it much.
It's a chazal.
One way to get rid of that.
This is planned by a rabbi, definitely.
Oh, no. He doesn't mean literally that you... What was your question? Your question was you need to have two people blowing in order to get this to work?
Well, we need some kind of continuation.
No. When he say mashach, he means the length of the tkia was long enough that it would have covered the entire length of the zichron. So in other words, you did tkia, trua, tkia, and you did it so long that it would have covered, it's the same length as the trua tkia, tkia trua tkia of zichronos. Not that somebody actually was blowing this hard. The second tkia was too long.
Oh, and it's
too long.
It's not how long it takes to say the psukim as well. That's not
what. Well, he's saying there's no way anybody could have blown it. First, he says there's no way anybody could have blown it as that long, that you would have been able to get into it, a tkia, true tkia, and 10 psukim. But he's saying it's just the tkios. But nevertheless, that means that that was too long. He says, What it means is that for Rashi, the tkios themselves are Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. That there is a din of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros in the tkios, not just the psukim that you say along with them. Because of course the psukim are not necessary. You don't need to say them, as we said before. It's still daraisa. You're mekayim the mitzvah even without the psukim, right? But he's saying that the psukim, nevertheless, or the concepts of the psukim, are embedded in the blowing of the shofar. In other words, the fact that we have three sets of tkios, which will have whether or not we say the brachas at all, and they'll still correspond to machios, zechronos, and shofros, whether or not we have the psukim, that's the case. He's saying, we don't just stam blow nine times. It's not nine blowing, stam. Elohim gimel sedarim keneged malchios zichronos and shofros shopshuta lefanea ulachareya utrua beemza. V'apasal betaka barishon u'mashach ba'kishtayim eino mishum shepsul. Eino mishum shelo taka test kolos, not because you didn't blow nine times, right? You could have read it that way. You could have said that one, that you went too long, that wasn't really a kol. Rather, it's because you're lacking in the Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros aspect. Okay. Okay, so jump to the last paragraph where he gets back to our point about tefillah. Eladaha gufa tama baya bai. We need a reason to understand. Ma'inyan Shofros etzel Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. What is the shofar blowing itself have to do with Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros? The shofar blowing doesn't say anything. It's not words. It can't get across ideas and concepts. Venira baro mizeh kanal to call ikar shofar hu l'tfila. The whole concept of shofar itself is tefila. Ukamash gazer Rashi betama the kfufim adif, like he said about kfufim. Hilchos Baruch Hashana de l'tfila ba de dino kol hilchos tefila. As we saw in the Rambam. That's the entire essence of the shofar of Rosh Hashanah. V'asher mi'ata nira de'achefta shal tefila shebo l'shitas Rashi u'malchus achron shel shofros. Its message is, the kind of tefila that it is malchus achron shel shofros, those concepts. And that's why it says, Yisod l'zeh me'agmar v'Rosh Hashanah, imru l'fani b'Rosh Hashanah malchus achronos, zichronos k'dei she'yala zichroneichem l'fanei v'tova u'bameh b'shofar. The Pashup shot reading of that Gemara is what? The Gemara says, Imra Lefani Malchus Zichronos Shofros, Ubameh Bashofar. How do we normally read that Gemara? If I were to translate it into English, someone take a stab at translating that into English. Imra Lefani Malchus Zichronos Shofros, Ubameh Bashofar. If you didn't have this shir, how would you understand that Gemara? What would it mean? Literally, the words.
Translate it.
Say before me, O Rosh Hashanah, Machlias, Zichronos, Zichronos Kadesh Yale Zichronam.
Okay.
Memories so that it will remind you of.
Yeah.
Things you remember. Lefanai, in front of me, Letova, for the good, or the ma, and how? For shofar. Using the shofar.
Using the shofar meaning?
Using the blowing of the shofar, I assume. Not the shape of the shofar. I wouldn't
think
it would be.
How do you say with the shofar?
You blow it.
See, I would have read the Gemara, say in front of me the psukim of Malchus Zichronos and Shofros, along with the shofar, which is halachically what we do. That's probably how the Shulchan Aruch actually uses this, right?
How do you read that?
Imru Lefanei Malchus Zichronos and Shofros. What's Imru Lefanei? Imru Lefanei means say in front of me the psukim, right? Ubameh bashofar. Bameh bashofar, together with the shofar. That's how you do it.
Ubameh means and how.
Okay, but ubameh in this context.
What way? Ubameh means in what way?
It seems like it screams out that it must mean in this case, at least I would have read it as meaning along with the shofar. If it had said ubameh balulav, I would have also said, yeah, you say the psukim while you shake the lulav. That's what it means. Which is what we do. We say the psukim and we blow the shofar. That's what we do. We say the psukim, we blow the shofar. It would seem to be a kiyum of this Gemara. But the Rav comes along and says, no, the Gemara means what Simon thinks it means. The Gemara means say the psukim through the shofar. That the shofar is a saying of the psukim.
How do you translate the word ovama?
Normally, with what?
Ovama and with what?
So normally I would have said it means along with, in this case, along with the shofar. But here the Rabbi Soloveitchik is saying, with the shofar, that's how you say it. Yeah, what do you say? Right, right. Yeah. Okay, the last thing is another Gemara, and we'll get back to, I think, what Alon was bringing up before about the lathe. And the ayin. I hope that we can explain that now.
Does the
Ritva
say? No, akulhu.
About everything. Okay. A berit v'sham de b'shofar akulhu kai. That you, when you blow the shofar, it raises up your tefillos. That's what the Ritva says. Kibufnim dami. Okay, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, kol ha-shofar k'sherim, chutz mishal para, mibnei shehu keren. Okay, you're allowed to use any. The Mishnah says, you're allowed to use any animal except for a para because it's a keren. Amar Yosi, v'alo kol shofars nikru keren, sh'nemar b'mshoch keren hayovel. He says, what are you talking about? They're all called keren. Okay, we're not going to get into that. Ula Amar, haynu taimu d'rabbanik d'rav chista. The reason what the Gemara gives is that we're not supposed to use the para because. Why doesn't the Kohen Gadol wear his golden clothes when he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Because you can't use the defendant, the prosecutor, to be the defendant. You don't want to remind Hashem on the day of Yom Kippur when he's supposed to be thinking about Kapara. You don't want to remind him of that sin that you did. Mitzupezahav, yes. So the Rishonim talk about that. I just saw that. Hold on. I think the Arutz Kodesh says. Because the sound doesn't come from the gold. The sound is not actually, the sound comes from the other end. It doesn't come from the actual gold piece. You're right, it does have gold on it. Okay. So the Gemara says, but wait a second. Velo, we don't have katigar nasas anigar. And the Gemara is going to give a whole list of cases, and it rejects each one in turn. And finally, it gets to v'ha'ika big day zav mi bachutz. But what about the big day zav that the Kohen wears when he's outside the Kodesh? The answer is mi bifnim kamina. Yeah, no, we're only worried about it when it's bifnim. Shofar na mi bachutzu. But the shofar, also, the shofar, which we are worried about apparently, because it can't be a para, right? Which we are worried about, is also bachutz. We don't blow the shofar in the Kodesh HaKadashim. So what's the problem? Why can't we use a para? Why can't we evoke the image of the Egel Azav with the para, with the shofar? What's the big deal? Where it says, Kevin the Lezichronu, Kevithnim Dami. Because when you blow it, it's Lezichron, it's as though it's Bifnim. It's a nice word. What does it mean?
What day are we blowing the shofar every time? What day are we blowing the
shofar? Maybe this is the Yova one? No, this is Rosh Hashanah. This is Rosh Hashanah.
The Gemara is Rosh Hashanah, but why is it?
But you still don't want to remind Hashem.
But that's just an example why you don't. Why you wouldn't
want to. Why would you use the power of the Rosh Hashanah?
Again, because it's also Yom Adin. It's also Yom Adin.
We never would have reminded Hashem about the Yekel.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter when the date is.
Yeah.
That's right. No, okay. What I'm saying. Don't remind Hashem about the Yekel by playing a.
Except
when
you bring it for
a
sacrifice.
What?
We were for a when you bring a cow for a sacrifice.
Why after the shofar of Rosh Hashanah we shouldn't remind that shofar?
Because it's Yom Adin, I think.
No. And when you
it's a special Yom Adin.
You bring a korban.
Bring a korban.
It's meant to be a Yom Adin. What's the shofar?
It's a special Yom Adin.
Korban's not bifnim. Don't you worry about bifnim.
I think it's because it's Yom Adin. Yeah. Anyways, so but again, what is kibifnim dami? What does that mean? That it's bifnim. What does that mean? What could that possibly mean? That blowing the shofar is kibifnim dami. It's just it's nice, but I could have said we'll read a gemara that says that you can't have gold on your lulav. Because it's bifnim dami. Or you can't have a gold on your tefillin. Because it's bifnim dami. It's all nice.
Is there a rashi on this bifnim dami?
It's
like the sound carries. Kibifnim dami. Shofar nami. Afagav delet be mishum chota bal yakar. Velet be mishum chota bal yitna. Kevin de zechon ka'ati kibig de koin gadosh lifnim dami. Not really. Because it's lizichron. Something about because it's lizichron. That's the key, obviously. So, if we were to...
The whole point is to encourage Hashem to remember. If he remembers, he might remember the Egel Azav as well.
So but why bring it up. It could have said that. You could have said, you're saying that because it's there to remind Hashem, so it's analogous. Not that it is kibifnim.
Right.
It's the same problem as the bifnim. Not that it's the bifnim. Right. Okay. Okay, that's a good answer. I buy that. In other words, it's not saying it's kibifnim dami. It's saying it's the same problem as bifnim.
Well, kibifnim, not bifnim, kibifnim.
Right.
Okay. Why do you buy that? Hashem doesn't have any memory problems.
No, but it's like a chutzpah.
What do you mean?
It's like a chutzpah.
The idea of zichron, we're trying to raise something to an awareness of God. So you don't want, at the time that you're trying to raise yourself to the awareness of God, to throw in his face the para. Makes perfect sense. That makes a lot of sense. Is there another way to say that it actually is kibifnim? So, if we were to draw a little bit further our parallel between the shofar and tefillah. So look at the Rambam about tefillah. The Rambam says, Ketzadiyah kavana shif, ketzadiyah kavana. What does it mean to have kavana during tefillah? Shifaneh libo mikol makshavot. Forget everything that you're thinking. V'yira atzmo kiluhu omed lifnei ashchina. And act as though you're standing in front of God. So he gives all these rules about tefillah, that you should sit beforehand and you should think about it, and it shouldn't be like a burden to you, And you should think, and you should even sit afterwards, because, you know, it's like you just came out of a meeting with God, so you need to take a few minutes. And the Hasidim Rishonim used to actually sit for an hour beforehand, an hour during, and an hour after. That's 9 total hours of the day that they were actually involved in tefillah. But the question is still begs over here. So the Rambam says clearly over here that you're supposed to feel ki'ilu hu omid lifnei hashchina. But he leaves vague one principle, which is, but where are the two of you? Because there's two options. It could be that you're standing where you're standing, and the Shekhinah has come to you. So if you're standing in shul, so you're standing in shul, and the Shekhinah has come into the shul, and it's standing in front, and that's what it means. Or it could mean that you've gone to him, that you are, while you're physically standing in shul, in spiritual terms, you're somehow in front of God, and you know, in his palace. How would we decide which one of these two it is? So a different Rambam. The Rambam says, Tikkun haguf, keitzad, kshu omed betfila, tzarech lechaven et raglav, zu betzad zu. When you're standing, you stand feet together. V'noas in enov lamata, all the way back to the beginning, right? You look down. Ke'ilu mabit la'aretz, as though you're looking down to the ground. V'yalibo panu lamala. Ke'ilu omed b'shamayim, u'meniach yadav alibo kefotin, Kvutin hayimanit al hasmalit v'omid ke'eved lifnei rabo be'ema be'yira b'pachad v'lo yaniach yada v'chalatzav. So what? How does the Rambam establish it? If you're omid lifnei hashchina, where are you omid lifnei hashchina? B'shamayim. If tefila is ke'omid lifnei hashchina b'shamayim, what does that say about the shofar? That's kibifnim dami. That's what it means. It means kibifnim dami. It's like you're standing right in front of him. And it's still dummy. In other words, it's not like you're like in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's just like in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you're extremely close to God. So when you blow the shofar, you're also extremely close to God in a different way than what Meir said. And so I think also this gets us back to Libo Bashamayim, though. Even though Einav Lamata, because I think that's how you would stand if you were in front of God. But Libo Bashamayim, Libo Lamala, you feel as though you're standing in Shamayim. Brings us all the way back full circle to the beginning of what we were talking about, but the shofar has to be kafuf, and yet there was this machlokas about whether it should be kafuf or pashut. Because at the same time, when you're davening, they're both agreeing that it is, everybody agrees it's midei de tefila. That's what the Rashi said. Everybody agrees that the shofar is a chefta, is an object of tefila. They just disagree about which aspect of tefila it has to physically look like. So the answer is, well, physical act of tefillah looks like you're looking down, whereas spiritually you are, of course, in Shamayim. Both of those aspects are important. The only question is which one takes precedence in terms of the physical appearance of the shofar. And the Rambam paskens that it has to be kafuf, and that's how we pask.
That's the Rosh Hashanah Melech Pasadeh.
He's close.
Look down. Yeah.
You know the Rambam doesn't mention that.
Rosh Hashanah is not
Pasadeh. Yeah, Rosh Hashanah is already by. Yeah, Rosh Hashanah is already ba'ayin, ba'chatzer. Yeah. Anyways, that is shofar equals tefillah.